Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Calder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. What is real repentance? And why do you need to repent? Well, first of all, we have to ask the question, what is sin? You know what sin is? Sin is the transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. But the Greek makes it even more binding. Sin is lawlessness. Now, lawlessness is anything against the laws and commandments of God. Now then, when the church started, there was real deep repentance on a part of those that heard the Pentecost message from the apostles at the temple in 30 AD, because Jesus had just been crucified, buried, rose from the dead, ascended to the Father, came back to the earth for 40 days, and was teaching the apostles what they need to say and do and preach. And he told them to stay in Jerusalem until they received power from on high from God for preaching. Then the Holy Spirit came in power, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were preaching Jesus Christ crucified, and what the leaders had done, and what the people had done, and how they had been misled by the rulers. And they were told, now here's a very important thing concerning the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to think on this. He died for the sins of the world, past, present, and future. And he is a personal Savior. So that means you in your life and you in your sinfulness were also responsible for killing Jesus Christ. Now think about that. If you want the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his shed blood applied to you, then you have to understand you had part in his death. Now then, think on this. There were many at the temple when they were preaching on this day of Pentecost who had been in the crowd yelling out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" So they were personally responsible. And they also said to Pilate, when he washed his hands clean and said, "I'm clean of the blood of this man," they said, "Let his blood be upon us and our children." And God has judged them according to that statement because of that sin. So when Peter was preaching about the fantastic sacrifice that Jesus brought for the forgiveness of sin, he said to them, Acts 2, verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel," and today it is, "let all the world know. For all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God." The whole world. With full assurance that God has made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, what was their response? Verse 37, "Now, after hearing this, they were cut to the heart." How about you? Are you cut to the heart over your sins? Are you cut to the heart over your evil life? Now, you may not think it's evil, but every commandment that you break constitutes you an evil sinner. And we're going to see that also means all the sins in your mind, all the secret things that you haven't told anybody else, those are also needed to be forgiven. They were cut to the heart. They said to Peter and the other apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent." That means stop, turn around, go the right way of God. Not your way, not your thoughts. We'll see that in just a minute. And be baptized. Now, why baptism? And baptism is by full immersion, which is a symbolic burial. Now, we'll talk about that a little later. Be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, or that is the removal of sins, and you yourselves shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what conversion is all about. And that's the purpose of the burial of the old self. That's the reason for confessing your sins to God directly on your knees before God Himself, you and God alone. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God may call. Now, what does that mean? If you hear these words and they mean something to you, and it's something that you know you need to do, God is calling. Will you answer that call? What will you do? Now, we have elders who will baptize. So if you need to be baptized, you contact us, and we'll make sure that you're baptized according to the scriptural instructions so you may receive the Spirit of God. And then conversion begins from that point. Let's go on. Chapter 3 and verse 18. But what God had before announced by the mouth of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has accordingly fulfilled. Therefore, repent and be converted. Now, we'll find out what conversion means here in just a little bit. In order that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord that is to you. Let's see what starts conversion. Let's come back to the book of Isaiah. Now, isn't it interesting that the apostles, when they were preaching the gospel, the only scripture they had were the Old Testament. And did you know that there are 356 direct prophecies of Jesus Christ and his life in the Old Testament? So the Old Testament is not really old. It should be the first. We have a brand new booklet, The Prophecies of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Email us. You can write us. We will send it to you at no cost. Isaiah 55. Let's start in verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. The waters are a type of the Holy Spirit of God. He who has no money, come. Buy and eat. How do you buy? You buy by giving your life to God. Since your sins cost Jesus' life, your repentance and reconciliation to God costs your life. And eat. Eat what? The Word of God. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, verse 2. Compared to that and the false Christianity we have in the world, the question is, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? The true bread is the Word of God, see? And you labor for that which never satisfies because you're not keeping the commandments of God. Hearken diligently to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight in fatness. Bow down your ear and come to me and hear. You come to God in repentance on your knees, crying out to God for forgiveness, to wash away your sins, put them under the sacrifice and blood of Jesus Christ. And your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The promise from God, who cannot lie, of eternal life even the sure mercies of David. And here is what you are to do. Verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. How do you seek the Lord? In prayer, on your knees, in a quiet private place, that you can confess your life and your sins to God alone. And he who hears will answer. Call upon him while he is near. Now here's what you are to do. Because everyone, according to the Bible definition that we're going to read here in a minute, has been wicked in one degree or another. If you have been breaking the commandments of God, especially the fourth commandment, you fall into that category. Let the wicked forsake his way. Forsake the way you've been living and doing. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now, that's what be converted means. Be changed. Let your mind be changed. And let what is in your mind be written over with the truth and word of God. That converts the mind. That converts the thoughts. See? And that's what leads you to eternal life. Let's go on. And let him return to the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And you want the pardon, you want the forgiveness? Comes from God. He will give it freely. No charge, no price. But you have to come to him, repent of your sins, and then be set to live by every word of God, as Jesus had said. Here's why you have to come to God on his terms. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But he brings it down in a form so that we can understand. Let's come to Acts, the 26th chapter. Let's see what Paul said about his ministry, because you've heard us say how many times the whole world is being deceived by Satan the devil, actively, all the time, without a doubt. And you look at what is going on into the world today, and they are trying to bring much more deception upon the people to control them and to take them away from God and to take every vestige of God away. That's why you need the true God, so you can understand what's going on. But that can't happen unless you repent and then are baptized. Now, Acts 26 and verse 15. This is Paul recounting how God chose him. He was knocked to the ground while he was on his way to Damascus. And verse 15, and I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Now, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? Because he was persecuting the believers, the followers of Christ. And he said, "You're persecuting me. Now rise and stand on your feet, for I've appeared to you for this purpose." Now, you talk about calling someone who is the exact opposite of what he should have been. That was the Apostle Paul. What about your life? Has your life been the exact opposite of what you find in the Bible? Well, think about this as a model for you to have hope that you can be forgiven, that God will be with you and for you and forgive your sins, give you his Holy Spirit. We'll see that in just a bit. To appoint you as a minister and witness both of what you have seen and what I shall reveal to you. I'm personally selecting you from among the people and the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Here was his mission statement. And this is what God will do for you with His Spirit and with His Word if you repent and are baptized, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light, because what is in the world is darkness, and from the authority of Satan to God. If you're not under the authority of God, guess whose authority you are under? None other than Satan the devil. And he comes as an angel of light to bring you benefits and good things. So that they may receive remission of sins, that's upon repentance, and an inheritance of eternal life among those who have been sanctified through faith in me. Now then, let's come to the book of Romans, chapter 6, and let's talk about baptism. First of all, you repent, and then you're baptized. But repentance means you see your sins, you confess your sins, you repent of your sins, and your life is turned around from living your way to living God's way. So Paul starts out, because he's speaking to those who were yet to be converted. What then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, may it never be. For we who died to sin, how shall we live any longer therein? How do you die to sin? Through baptism. And baptism is a burial of the old sin, the old self. Or are you ignorant, verse 3, that we, as many were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Now then, you're entering into the new covenant, and a covenant requires the sacrifice of both parties. The sacrifice of Christ is very well known. What is your sacrifice? Your sacrifice is your death. Figuratively speaking, into the symbolic grave of the water. Because you have to rise out of there to walk in newness of life, not living the way that you were, but loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being, keeping his commandments, doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. Now notice, therefore we were buried with him through the baptism into the death. And we will see that it's described that God is conjoining your sacrifice of your body in that watery grave with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Let's read on. So that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, in the same way, we also should walk in newness of life. What is the newness of life? Keeping his commandments, keeping his word, loving him, loving those that God has called. That's a tremendous thing. For if we have been conjoined together in the likeness of his death, and that's what baptism is. You are conjoined, as if, spiritually speaking, because his sacrifice is paying for your sins. Everyone who accepts the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is conjoined to his death. And that makes the covenant pledge from God to you and from you to God. When you're raised out of the water, you're to walk in newness of life, as we will see. But notice the promise. It goes one step further. What about this life after you expire? So also we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now that's quite a thing. Eternal life. Now, if you want to get just a little glimpse of eternal life, go out some night and look at the heavens. Like God said to Abraham, all the stars. God has the universe for his family. And when you are baptized, you become part of the family of God. And you are to walk in God's way and in his commandments and in his love. That's what he wants. Now, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was co-crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be destroyed so that we might no longer be enslaved to sin. Might be destroyed. Now then, with God's Spirit, we overcome the pulls of the flesh, we overcome the law of sin and death within us, and we are converted. Because the one who has died to sin has been justified from sin. That means your sins have been removed and forgotten. Now then, because you have to overcome sin, because you still have sin in your mind, because those things are still there, you have to become converted. And converted is a process. Now hold your place here and come to chapter 12. Romans 12. This shows us that it is a process. We are to grow in grace and knowledge. We are to grow in truth and understanding. Chapter 12. Here is what we are to do when we come up out of that watery grave. Romans 12 and verse 1. I exhort you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Living, loving, serving, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service. Now, what is your spiritual service? Loving God, serving God, keeping his commandments, obeying him, keeping the Sabbath, keeping the holy days. All of those things then open up a whole vista of spiritual life for you to grow in grace and knowledge in preparation for eternal life. Now notice verse 2. Do not conform yourselves to this world, the ways of this world, the ways of the Christianity of this world, but be transformed. Now transformation is a process. The Greek is metamorphos, and that is to slowly change. Just like the caterpillar in the cocoon. It slowly changes from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And then when it's time, he breaks out of the cocoon, and there is a whole new creature. Now that's comparable to eternal life. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind in order that you may prove what is well-pleasing and good in the perfect will of God. Now back to Romans 6. Let's see what we are to do, because now, once you're baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, and you are on the road to being converted, and this process or metamorphosis of conversion continually happens as a renewing of your mind. And how is your mind renewed? Number one, by the Spirit of God. Number two, by the Word of God. Instead of having all your sins written in your mind, now you have the Word of God written in your mind. That's what it says in Hebrews 10:16. I will remember their sins no more, and I will write in their mind and inscribe in their heart my laws and commandments. And that is the conversion of the mind. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has any dominion over him. For when he died unto sin once for all, but in that he lives unto God. In the same way also, you should indeed reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, the way that you used to live, but alive to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin rule in your mortal body by obeying it in the lust thereof. Don't do that. You transform your mind with prayer, daily prayer, daily study, daily with the Word of God, living by every word of God as Jesus has said. And those thoughts that come into your mind because of sin, you captivate them and you repent of them and you ask God to cleanse your heart and your mind. That is called overcoming. Now that's what real repentance is all about. Now you need our booklet, all about water baptism. That will explain everything to you, what we've covered here, plus more, and why we're to come out of that watery grave and walking in newness of life. We're to keep the commandments of God, because that's how God prepares us for eternal life. God is not going to have rebellion and Satan in the kingdom of God. It isn't going to be. So we need to get it out of our lives through Christ, through the Spirit of God. But we have to put forth the effort to get rid of it, to change, to be renewed, to be transformed, to become a son or daughter of God, to be raised to a spiritual life, to live forever. Now, if that's what you want, you write us and contact us, and we have elders who talk to you about baptism and take care of baptizing you. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.